Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy. The Secret of the Golden Flower, Part 6, in which we actually start reading The Secret of the Golden Flower. Parts 1 through 5 were the introduction. So if you're specifically coming from like a socio-anthropological point of view, and you're specifically interested in how a Swiss guy and a German guy in 1929 and 1930 might try to introduce this 17th century Taoist alchemical with a little bit of Buddhism and Confucianism thrown in, how they might try to introduce that to who they perceive to be the Western reader. If that sounds interesting to you, then go ahead and click the playlist, and maybe you want to start at part one. However, if you're interested in hearing the English translation of The Secret of the Golden Flower, then this is the episode where you want to start. And as has become tradition on The Secret of the Golden Flower portion of Chicken Philosophy, we're going to start by getting a little bit of insight from the heavens, if you will, in the form of one single I Ching character. And at the same time, learning a bit about the I Ching. So here we go. We're going to start with a broken line. Then an unbroken line. And then a broken line, and then an unbroken line. I don't know how I knew that's what was going to happen. Broken, unbroken, broken, unbroken. Mix these up real nice. Kind of flip one of them. All right. An unbroken, all right. And finally, unbroken. So broken, unbroken, broken, unbroken, unbroken, unbroken. Right? That's what happened. So give me a moment. Okay, so the top three is called Kan or water, or Ka'an. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And the bottom three are Xian, meaning heaven. Kan and Xian. And you'll find that. That's the fifth figure, which is Meng, youthful folly. Even the foolish can attain wisdom by modestly following the sage. Okay, I'll take it. Pretty sure I'm the foolish youth in that one. Thank you. Born in 1978. It's been a while since somebody called me a youth. All right. Here we go. And Editor Edward, I know we agreed on dulcimer, but I was thinking maybe the other dulcimer. There it is. Okay. One. Heavenly consciousness, parentheses, the heart, end parentheses. Master Lu Tzu said, that which exists through itself is called the way, parentheses Tao, end parentheses. Tao has neither name nor shape. It is the one essence, the one primal spirit. Essence and life cannot be seen. They are contained in the light of heaven. The light of heaven cannot be seen. It is contained in the two eyes. Today, I will be your guide and will first reveal to you the secret of the golden flower of the Great One. And starting from that, I will explain the rest in detail. All right, so far so good. How's everybody doing? Can't actually. actually hear you, but I hope you're doing well. Anyway. All right. Well, you know, that's your choice to work or not work. Okay. Talking to the remote for the people on the audio only. The Great One is the term given to that which has nothing above it. The secret of the magic of life consists in using action in order to attain non-action. One must not wish to leap over everything and penetrate directly. Good thing Gwydion's not reading this. The maxim handed down. El Guapo doesn't. Never mind. Okay. The maxim handed down to us is to take in hand the work on human nature. In doing this, it is important not to take any wrong path. The golden flower is light. What color is the light? One uses the golden flower as a symbol. It is the true energy of the transcendent Great One. The phrase, quote, the lead of the water region has but one taste, end quote, refers to it. Heaven created water through the One. Remember water and heaven? Interesting, interesting. That is the true energy of the Great One. If man attains this One, he becomes alive. If he loses it, he dies. But even if man lives in the energy, parentheses, vital breath, or prana, end parentheses, he does not see the energy or vital breath. Just as fishes, pretty sure the plural of fish is fish, but go on, live in water but do not see the water. Man dies when he has no vital breath, just as fishes perish when deprived of water. Therefore, the adepts have sought people to hold fast to the primal and to guard the One. It is the circulation of the light and the maintaining of the center. If one guards this true energy, one can prolong the span of life and can then apply the method of creating an immortal body by melting and mixing. The work on the circulation of the light depends entirely on the backward flowing movement, so that the thoughts, parentheses, the place of heavenly consciousness, the heavenly heart, end parentheses, are gathered together. The heavenly heart lies between sun and moon, parentheses, i.e. between the two eyes, end parentheses. The Book of the Yellow Castle says, quote, in the square inch field of the square foot house, life can be regulated. End parentheses. The square foot house is the face, the square inch field in the face. What could that be other than the heavenly heart? In the middle of the square inch dwells the splendor. In the purple hall of the city of jade dwells the god of utmost emptiness. Life. The Confucians call it the center of emptiness. the Buddhists, the Terrace of Living, the Taoists, the Ancestral Land, or the Yellow Castle, or the Dark Pass, or the Space of Former Heaven. Can't help thinking of Dot, but anyway. The Heavenly Heart is like the dwelling place. The light is the master. Therefore, when the light circulates, the energies of the whole body appear before its throne, as when a holy king has established the capital and has laid down the fundamental rules of order. All the states approach with tribute, or as when the master is quiet and calm, men, servants, and maids obey his orders of their own accord, and each does his work. Therefore, you only have to make the light circulate. That is the deepest and most wonderful secret. The light is easy to move, but difficult to fix. If it is made to circulate long enough, then it crystallizes itself. That is the natural spirit body. This crystallized spirit is formed beyond the nine heavens. It is the condition of which it is said in the book of the Seal of the Heart, quote, silently thou fliest upward in the morning. In carrying out this fundamental principle, you need to seek for no other methods, but must only concentrate your thoughts on it. The Book of Lang Yen says, quote, by collecting the thoughts, one can fly and will be born in heaven, end quote. Heaven is not the wide blue sky, but the place where corporeality is begotten in the house of the creative. If one keeps this up for a long time, there develops quite naturally, in addition to the body, yet another spirit body. The golden flower is the elixir of life, literally golden ball or golden pill. All changes of spiritual consciousness depend upon the heart. There is a secret charm, which, although it works very accurately, is yet so fluid that it needs extreme intelligence and clarity, and the most complete absorption and tranquility. People without this highest degree of intelligence and understanding do not find the way to apply the charm. People without this utmost capacity for absorption and tranquility cannot keep fast hold of it. This section explains the origins of the great way, the Tao. Now, I'm wondering, this text is slightly smaller, so I don't know if it's the author interjecting, but I will read, assuming maybe it's just an optical illusion, or it's just how... Well, I'll just read it. Maybe we can figure it out as we go. This section explains the previous one that we just read, or the next one coming up? I think the previous one. This section explains the origin of the Great Way, the Tao, of the world. The Heavenly Heart is the germ of the Great Way. If you can be absolutely quiet, then the Heavenly Heart will spontaneously manifest itself. When the feeling stirs and expresses itself in the normal flow, man is created as primal creature. This creature abides between conception and birth in true space, when the one note of individuation enters into the birth, human nature and life are divided in two. From this time on, if the utmost quietness is not achieved, human nature and life never see each other again. That's a nice line. I assume that's not Wilhelm. I think that comes from the original text. So, keep reading. I was hoping that we weren't hearing Wilhelm. I mean, he translated it from Chinese into German, and then who knows who translated it into English, but the point is, that's in the introduction. Here, we're reading the text. Therefore, it is said in the plan of the Supreme Ultimate that the Great One includes within itself true energy, or prana. Interesting they're using the Sanskrit word. I wonder if that's in the original text or if that's in the translation. Seed, spirit, animus, and anima. And as we know, those words have nothing to do with Carl Jung's usage of those words, which have nothing to do with the ancient words themselves. Like the Latin, they're Latin, right? Those are words which Wilhelm has chosen to apply to other words, hun and po. So, for all intents and purposes, when you hear animus and anima, these are brand new words with zero definition, and we'll let the text gradually expound upon their meaning. And just whatever preconceived idea you have about animus and anima, just forget for now. Okay. If the thoughts are absolutely tranquil, so that the heavenly heart can be seen, the spiritual intelligence reaches the origin unaided. The human nature lives indeed in true space, but the radiance of the light dwells in the two eyes. Therefore, the master teaches the circulation of the light, so that the true human nature may be reached. The true human nature is the primal spirit. The primal spirit is precisely human nature and life. And if one accepts what is real in it, it is the primal energy, and the great way is just this thing. The master is further concerned that people should not miss the way that leads from conscious action to unconscious non-action. Therefore, he says, the magic of the elixir of life makes use of conscious action in order that unconscious non-action may be attained. Conscious action consists in setting the light in circulation by reflection in order to make manifest the release of heaven. If, then, the true seed is born, and the right method applied in order to melt and mix it, and in that way to create the elixir of life, then one goes through the pass. The embryo, which must be developed by the work of warming, nourishing, bathing, and washing, is formed. That passes over into the realm of unconscious non-action. A whole year of this fire period is needed before the embryo is born, sheds the shells, and passes out of the ordinary world into the holy world. This method is quite simple and easy, but there are so many transforming and changing conditions connected with it, that it is said that not with one leap can a man suddenly get there. Whoever seeks eternal life must search for the place whence human nature and life originally sprang. All right, that's the end of section one. Two, the primal spirit and the conscious spirit. Master Lutsu said, in comparison with heaven and earth, man is like a mayfly. But compared to the great way, heaven and earth too are like a bubble and a shadow. Dot and bubble? No. Only the primal spirit and the true nature overcome time and space. The energy of the seed, like heaven and earth, is transitory. But the primal spirit is beyond the polar differences. Here is the place whence heaven and earth derive their being. When students understand how to grasp the primal spirit, they overcome the polar opposites of light and darkness, and tarry no longer in the three worlds, but only he who has envisioned human nature's original face is able to do this. It says in the footnote, the three worlds are heaven, earth, and hell, but in Buddhism, I know the three worlds are past, present, and future, so I don't know if the footnoter, how certain here she was. I think it was Wilhelm. When men are set free from the womb, the primal spirit dwells in the square inch, parentheses, between the eyes, end parentheses. But the conscious spirit dwells below, in the heart. This lower fleshly heart has the shape of a large peach. It is covered by the wings of the lungs, supported by the liver, and served by the bowels. This heart is dependent on the outside world. If a man does not eat for one day even, it feels extremely uncomfortable. If it hears something terrifying, it throbs. If it hears something enraging, it stops. If it is faced with death, it becomes sad. If it sees something beautiful, it is dazzled. But the heavenly heart in the head, when would it have moved in the least? Dost thou ask, can the heavenly heart not move? Then I answer, how could the true thought in the square inch move? If it really moves, that is not good. For when ordinary men die, then it moves, but that is not good. It is best indeed if the light has already solidified into a spirit body, and its life energy gradually penetrated the instincts and movements. But that is a secret which has not been revealed for thousands of years. The lower heart moves like a strong, powerful commander who despises the heavenly ruler because of his weakness, and has usurped the leadership in affairs of state. But when the primal castle can be fortified and defended, then it is as if a strong and wise ruler sat upon the throne. The eyes start the light circulating, like two ministers at the right and left who support the ruler with all their might. When rule in the center is thus in order, all those rebellious heroes will present themselves with lances reversed, ready to take orders. The way to the elixir of life knows as supreme magic seed water spirit fire, and thought earth. These three. What is seed water? It is the true one energy of former heaven. Spirit fire is the light. Thought earth is the heavenly heart of the middle dwelling. Spirit fire is used for affecting, thought earth for substance, and seed water for the foundation. Ordinary men make their bodies through thoughts. The body is not only the 7-foot-tall outer body. In the body is the po'o. I'll just replace anima with po'o and animus with hum so that we can learn about these new concepts that in all likelihood don't correspond very well with the Latin words assigned to them. The po'o adheres to consciousness in order to affect it. Consciousness depends for its origin on the po'o. The po'o is feminine, yin. It is the substance of consciousness. As long as this consciousness is not interrupted, it continues to beget from generation to generation. And the changes of form of the po'o and the transformations of substance are unceasing. But besides this, there is the hun, in which the spirit shelters. The hun lives in the daytime in the eyes. At night it houses in the liver. When living in the eyes, it sees. When housed in the liver, it dreams. Dreams are the wanderings of the spirit through all 9 heavens and all 9 earths, but whoever is in a dark and withdraws mood on waking and chained to his bodily form is fettered by the po'o. Therefore, the concentration of the hun is brought about by the circulation of the light, and in this way the spirit is maintained, the po subjugated, and consciousness cut off. The method used by the ancients for escaping from the world consisted in melting out completely the slag of darkness in order to return to the purely creative. This is nothing more than a reduction of the po. It's P apostrophe O, so I'm just going to say po because it feels awkward saying po every time. Anyway, of the po and a completion of the hun. And the circulation of the light is the magical means of reducing the dark and gaining mastery over the po. Even if the work is not directed towards bringing back the creative, but confines itself to the magical means of the circulation of light, it is just the light that is the creative. By means of its circulation, one returns to the creative. If this method is followed, plenty of seed water will be present of itself. The spirit fire will be ignited, and the thought earth will solidify and crystallize, and thus the holy fruit matures. The scarabus rolls his ball, and in the ball there develops life as the result of the undivided effort of his spiritual concentration. If now an embryo can grow in manure and shed its shells, why should not the dwelling place of our heavenly heart be able to create a body if we concentrate the spirit upon it? There was an illustration. And so we're still in the middle of part two. There's like 3 pages left, 2.5 pages left of part two. And then we'll continue with part three in part 7 of the Secret of the Golden Flower portion of Chicken Philosophy. Thank you all for joining me for this reading, and I look forward to actually listening to myself read that so that I can absorb it a bit more than I did surely upon reading it. And wishing you all a wonderful day.